The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a happy hostile takeover Wednesday here at the Brad Sessmatt Show. I don't know if I can make that to a hashtag. That's a little lengthy, and there's no W's in there besides Wednesday. I don't think that would catch on. But nonetheless, this is not Brad Sessmatt here in front of the table. This is Devin Henry here once again on this Wednesday for the Brad Sessmatt Show. As always, so glad to have you here watching on Sports360AZ.com. Be sure to be following Sports360 at Sports360AZ.com on Twitter and at DevinHenry77, Devin with an O, Henry with a Y. Get in on all the action. Lots of going on in the state of Arizona for sports right now. Our website has been jam-packed so far this week, and we're only halfway through the week. But you are halfway through the week, so congratulations. You are almost to Friday. And if you're like me and work over the weekend, that means nothing at all, but nonetheless, you're halfway through the week. Remember, guys, live every day as happy as you can, as proud as you can. We're going to do that today as well. Lots of jam-packed stuff in this show. We are going to have the Arizona Christian University Athletic Director, Jeff Rutter, join the show. He's also the head coach of the men's basketball team that made an improbable run to the NAIA Elite Eight. We'll talk to him about that. Also, Brad has a tradition of bringing on the interns onto the show and interrogating them. Now, our intern this semester, he doesn't necessarily come in on those prime days for Brad to interrogate him, so we will do that today also. He knows everything hockey, at least a heck of a lot more than me. We will talk about Arizona State, their first bid into the NCAA tournament for hockey, and also the Coyotes. They're still in the hunt for the playoffs? Are you kidding me? Yeah, we're this deep in the season. There's only a little bit still to go, but there's some big news coming out about Arizona, and the Coyotes might be making their first playoff appearance since 2012. Yes, that is shorter than the Phoenix Suns. We are brought to you, and this rundown is brought to you by Sagicor. Now, protect what matters most. Go ahead, do that with life insurance. Give our friends at Sagicor a call. Brad is licensed with Sagicor. If he didn't think that what they were doing is something that maybe even he needed to do or you need to do yourself, he wouldn't be there. That's just the way it is. Be sure to give our friends at Sagicor a call. We appreciate Sagicor and their support. Devin Henry here hosting the Brad Sessmatt Show this Wednesday. Kendi Wilkerson, our chairwoman of the board, as usual. I forgot to say, Jordan hosted the show with me last week, and I forgot to mention Kendi's name, so I'll get down to the top here, make sure I don't forget again. So I want to start off here because I know Brad just loves talking about Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals. But I'm going to brush that aside real quick. Pro day today for Arizona State. Someone else who's been thrown around for a name that the Cardinals would love to draft, of course, is N'Keal Harry, hometown hero, one of the best receivers in Arizona State history. Some are dubbing him. So pro day is today. I don't know exactly how much he will be doing because he did show out quite a bit at the combine. So it's interesting to see if N'Keal Harry maybe drops in the draft. That's going to be a early second round draft pick for the Cardinals. But unless the Cardinals were to, say, trade down with that number one pick, I don't see N'Keal Harry going to the Arizona Cardinals unless it's something wacky where after whoever the team is that drafts him acquires him, there's some other trade block going on action between that team and the Cardinals where N'Keal Harry's rights do get sent over to Arizona. But otherwise, I don't see N'Keal Harry going to the Arizona Cardinals. Let's just imagine for a moment that how life is right now is how life will always be, with the Arizona Cardinals holding the number one draft pick and then no picks until we get into the second round, and then also their other boatload of picks that will be coming in the NFL draft formally after that. So I think that we are so far in this Kyler Murray, Josh Rosen debate that every single possibility has been said by Arizona and national media coverage so far in every way, shape, or form. And the most recent hot topic, because we have to figure out something new to say about Josh Rosen versus Kyler Murray every single week, otherwise it gets old, is what if you were to draft Kyler Murray and then you keep Josh Rosen? And they fight it out during the training camp, and they fight it out during preseason. Now, personally, I'm crazy, so I actually like that idea. I love the philosophy of having Carson Wentz and Nick Foles together, and with that philosophy, the Philadelphia Eagles actually won a Super Bowl title with their backup quarterback. I am a big advocate of trick plays in both college and the pros. Could you imagine having an athlete like Kyler Murray out there where you have two quarterbacks on the field at once, one kind of subbing for the fullback, if you will, and then still having David Johnson on the field, so you'd only have a couple of receivers out there, and then you throw off the defense with a trick play with two quarterbacks on the field at once. I think that'd be really cool. That's never going to happen. I'm just imagining, guys. Don't hunt me at DevinHenry77. Do hunt me at DevinHenry77. But no, I think that would be really kind of hysterical. I would love to see that, but it's never going to happen, like, ever. If anything, maybe in college football, D2 maybe, but that's a dream that will never come true. The reason why I don't think that this is going to happen, and the fact that the Cardinals could draft Kyler Murray and then keep Josh Rosen on the roster too, is because you don't get the bang for your buck after that. Because if you were to trade Josh Rosen right now, his stock is the highest that he's going to be. The number one draft pick, the stock is the highest that's going to be right now, where you can acquire up to 3 draft picks and maybe even a player, maybe even some cash. The longer you move on, once you have Kyler Murray and Josh Rosen competing for the same spot on the same team, the second that you put the inferior one on the trade block, whether it be them fighting it out during the preseason or learning that it's not sensible to have 2 quarterbacks who are first-round draft picks on your team in the season, their stock is going to be so low because you are essentially saying that this quarterback is inferior to this other super young quarterback. So right now, everyone is super high on the intelligence and future of Josh Rosen and the athleticism in the future of Kyler Murray. Murray right now is speculated to be the number one draft pick overall, regardless of whatever team B's there. Josh Rosen right now, I think, is the future of whatever team happens to have him when we start the season moving on here after the summer concludes. But you don't have any more stock. The stock is completely gone in those 2 players once you determine which one is inferior to the other. So that's the current giant rumor about Kyler Murray right now, whether or not you keep both on the roster and they fight. I love that idea, but you don't get the bang for your buck that you would if you were to simply just trade one of the 2 now. And as I mentioned, Sun Devil Pro Day is today. Jordan Hamm will not be joining us via Skype, unfortunately, because he is at Arizona State Football Pro Day right now, watching some of these athletes perform in front of a boatload of talent that has come down to check out the Arizona State Pro Day right now. And of course, there is the Denver Broncos there. I believe John Elway is there. The Niners are there. Bucks are there. You name it. They're going to be there checking out N'Keal Harry and a couple other of the Arizona State Sun Devils here on Pro Day. I believe that there's 4 working out who I really think can go at a decent margin in this draft. Whether that remains to be seen or not, you know, you're not going to know. That's the point there. So still in my mind, I prefer Josh Rosen. The more you look at the Kyler Murray tape, the more you go, man, this guy might be an absolute stud moving forward. At the end of the day, because we're still going to talk about this every single week until the draft, which feels like forever and a half away, they're both going to have super bright futures in the NFL. I think at the end of the day, both of these quarterbacks will be phenomenal in the NFL. Who's going to be the better between this coaching staff and that coaching staff, or this program or that program? I mean, that's the number one thing that I just hate about all this pre-draft talk, is we talk about how great this player is going to be when we have not seen a second of them on the field with a pro defense facing them down on the other side of the line of scrimmage. So I'm going to take a break. When we come back, we are going to move from the football field onto the ice rink. We are going to talk hockey here on the Brad Sessmatch Show. That's coming up next year on Sports360AZ.com. I'm Devin Henry. Welcome back to the Brad Sessmatch Show here on Sports360AZ.com. I'm Devin Henry, hosting today, and Brad has a tradition of interrogating all of the interns when they show up. Brad has been busy on Wednesday, so he's usually out and about doing stuff in the field. Monday is a day where we're getting ready to film the TV show, so just in case Brad doesn't get around to it, I do have our intern this semester, Andrew Bell, with me. So before we get to the hockey world, you are a senior at Arizona State. You are about to graduate. What else do you do at ASU?
So I'm with right now at the website called House of Sparky. We produce just a lot of ASU content through SB Nation, things like that. I was formerly a sports editor with the State Press, which is the school newspaper there. Also involved with their Pac-12 live streams. I did some hockey play-by-play and color commentary this year. I'll be traveling to Allentown this weekend to broadcast the games on Facebook Live for Sun Devil Hockey and broadcasting the ASU game that we'll get to in just a second. And then on top of that, I'll be writing this weekend as well. So kind of all over the place. And then in addition to that, I'm here over at Sports 360. So it's time to interrogate the interns, Devin.
Absolutely. So did you actually interview with Brad for the internship?
Yes, I did. I interviewed with Brad. It was just across the street from the Cronkite School. And I like to think it went pretty well. Hopefully he likes me, but you know.
So far, so good, I guess. No. So what other sports? So, I mean, you're a hockey head. You've had great content out on sports360az.com, whether it be from the Coyotes or, of course, the story on Arizona State making their first national tournament. But besides that, what other sports have you been covering just this year with everything, really?
It's kind of been all over the place, but ASU men's and women's basketball, baseball, softball coverage as well, and pretty much everything in between. Did some high school stuff here at Sports 360, just had a story go out about the Hamilton softball program, and then I've done some other preps things as well. I'm kind of just around the valley, but yeah, just kind of all over the place. So, but yeah, it's fun.
So let's dig in on the ice. Do you have experience playing hockey?
I do not have super competitive experience playing hockey, just because a lot of my friends do from back home, but just because hockey, you know, was so expensive and things like that growing up. So not, you know, competitive or anything like that.
And back home is?
Actually, San Jose, California. So which not your traditional think, hockey but area, but grew up a lot around the Sharks franchise. So I know any Coyotes fans listening probably aren't too happy about that, but grew up, family had season tickets to the Sharks, and it's been a great opportunity now again to cover hockey here in Arizona, and it's just grown so much.
And speaking of a non-traditional place for hockey, that being Arizona, and I think part of the reason why Arizona State has been able to build so quickly under Coach Greg Powers is the fact that when you come to the West Coast for hockey, which California is also growing as well in the world of hockey, there's Denver, one of the best teams in the nation. There's kinda California, not really, in Division I NCAA hockey, and then there's Arizona State. So it's basically like all the outcasts, everyone who's not quite good enough to be with one of the top teams in the nation at Denver. They're just like, well, I guess I'll just go to Arizona State then, because you don't want to, you know, move all the way back east when hockey is growing here. So it only took 3 years for this program to build and be in the NCAA tournament, and you were actually there with the team when it was announced.
Yeah, Sunday was a pretty special moment for Coach Powers, and it's really special because if you don't know the ASU hockey story, or if you haven't really kept up with the Sun Devil team, it's a great story regardless of if you're a hockey fan or not. Coach Powers played at ASU during its club hockey days, and if you don't know what club hockey is, club hockey, you're paying your way to play hockey and travel throughout the country. You pay about couple hundred to $1,000 to, you know, go play and just have an opportunity to continue playing a sport you love. And so that was what Coach Powers did. He played at the club level, was away from the program for a while, wasn't even involved in the sport of hockey, came back and became their club hockey coach and became a national power. They went 41-1 against U of A, which was their in-state rival here in Arizona. And Arizona has established a pretty good ACHA program as well, but established a powerhouse. They won a 2014 national title. A story was done by Justin Emerson. That actually got released in Sports Illustrated, and Justin Emerson now is writing for the Las Vegas Golden Knights as a beat reporter. Mm-hmm. But he was actually former, not in my shoes, but a similar situation. He was a student reporter at the time and did a story on their club hockey team and what it would take to get to the Division I level. Athletic director Ray Anderson had an interview with Emerson, and there's a couple donors that came together, and all of a sudden there's a bunch of money on the table in ASU's Division I program. And with that, they play at Oceanside Ice Arena, which isn't, you know, the best facilities in the country. It's kind of a, we call it on our broadcast, the ice box. It's kind of just, you know, just a tight vicinity. It's not the nicest Division I facilities by any means.
All the media has to watch their head. They're like pedestaled above the,
yeah,
above the teams, and there's giant water pipes just fly above you.
Yeah. It's quite an environment. And
it's
so
character.
It just creates, you mix in all those elements together. I mean, this ASU team last year, they only had 8 wins. Now they have 21 teams, and they're one of the best teams in the country. They're among the top 16 teams in the nation. So it's just a great story, regardless of if you're a hockey fan or not, or if you really keep up with the sport of hockey. It's just been quite growth and development for the Sun Devil program.
And for anyone who's been watching this program the past, well, call it 3 years, even when they were down at the club level for college, it's, I mean, this wasn't something that people were like, oh my gosh, this is insane. This is something where last year going like, they're literally that close as this infant program. And a philosophy that Coach Powers brought to this team, which is, I think, a great philosophy at any sport, any level. Bring in or go to the top teams in the nation. Bring in Quinnipiac. Go to Michigan. Bring in this year number one Ohio State. Yeah, you usually lose all those. But nonetheless, you get better. You see what a national power looks like. And now, here you are a couple of years later. I was actually at the Quinnipiac game last year when they just got blown out at Gila River Arena. Now, the number two team in that bracket, that's who you're playing. And you already kind of know them from playing them in the past now.
Yeah, they have a lot of familiarity with this Quinnipiac team who they're playing this weekend. This will actually be their sixth meeting. They're 1-3-1 all time against Quinnipiac. But it's like you said, kind of just playing those top-notch opponents. This year they played Ohio State, who's the number one team in the country at the time. They lost both those games, but if you watched any of those, it was a really tight game. There were one-goal hockey games throughout, and ASU was just one goal away from possibly tying that game or winning that hockey game. So it was really tight. And if you ask any of the players or coaches, that was about the third week of the season. It was just barely a month of the season. That's kind of where the guys knew that, you know, we have something special. We can compete with the number one team in the country, and they kind of built off that. They swept Boston College, which you hear the name Boston College a lot in college hockey. They kind of had a little bit of a down year this year, but ASU, you know, sweeps them. They go back east, pick up a couple sweeps. At Princeton, they split at Harvard. So you're going into a lot of traditional college hockey powerhouses and programs that have been established for some time, and you have this new kind of West Coast program. And Coach Powers has said it before, it's kind of like an urban legend, kind of like Bigfoot or something like that. Teams are like, who's this team out on the West Coast? And no, because I mean, to be honest, it's tough to watch the games if you're on the East Coast. I mean, they have the Pac-12 live stream that we do, the student-produced live stream through ASU, but it's hard to keep in touch with the Sun Devil program if you're maybe on the East Coast or in the Northeast. So you see, you know, this team doing so well, and you're wondering, you know, I've never seen them before, and that's what Coach Powers kind of called it, kind of an urban legend.
Yeah, we both worked with Mark Rita, who helps with those live streams at Arizona State, which is almost ironic that you're saying Pac-12 hockey here live, that's non-existent. That doesn't exist. Instead, this is an independent group, regardless of conference, which in a way, when you even look at like a school like Notre Dame in football, that's what you would compare it to. You do have the opportunity, instead of playing in-conference opponents, which maybe in a few years that would end up being a brand new Cal team, a brand new USC team, who's not like Ohio State or other major programs. But I do want to emphasize, this tournament is not 64 teams like the NCAA basketball tournament. This is the top 16 teams. So this isn't like if you're ranked in the top 25, you're in. Like, if you're ranked in the top 25 and you're, like, 20th, you're super worried that you're not even going to make the tournament. And then after this, you're taking on, more than likely, Minnesota Duluth, who is one of the powerhouses, one of the perennial powers in all of NCAA hockey. If you win that game, maybe you get lucky and you play Cornell. I mean, that's the lucky. That's the lucky on the other side of the bracket if you only take on Cornell. And then Denver, St. Cloud State, and Notre Dame are on the other side of the bracket. Thank goodness for Arizona State. But nonetheless, this is going to be a huge game for Arizona State. And if they move on here, I mean, this is going to mean so much for this program to not only in 3 years be in the top 16, essentially, to be in the tournament, but now you're in the Elite Eight, too. So great coverage, as usual.
Thank
Andrew.
You. Appreciate it.
As we start running out of time, I do want to get to the Arizona Coyotes, another team that I know that you check up on every now and again. Five games left. They went on a five-game losing streak, finally picked it back up against the Blackhawks. But this team is still in it. And the most important game, arguably, out of these next five is going to be on Friday against the Avalanche, because they hold that spot that the Coyotes want. There's that final wildcard spot. Of course, you don't want to be in the final spot. You want to be a little bit higher. But what's the significance of this Friday game if they lose, looking forward with four games to go?
Well, you know, with four games to go, a lot can happen. I don't think Friday is the end of the world if they lose that game. With that being said, it helps their chances a lot if they can beat Colorado tonight. And a big kind of side point to that of that Friday game is a game tonight. Colorado's facing off against the Las Vegas Golden Knights. Mm-hmm. The Knights are on the verge of clinching a playoff spot. It's going to be a big game at the Pepsi Center in Denver. So Friday's a big game regardless of what happens tonight against Vegas, but that's another game to keep an eye on. And this Coyotes team is just quite a story. They've had so many injuries this year. You have Derek Stepan who goes down. Just a bunch of guys returning from injury. Their starting goaltender, Antti Jaranta, I mean, hasn't even been with the team throughout the season because he was injured early on. And that's really where Darcy Kemper has stepped up. And he is statistically the best goaltender in the NHL since the calendar hit 2019. He has been lights out. He had a shutout last night against Chicago. And he has just been the man in net for the Coyotes. He has stood tall on that back end and has allowed for a lot of other guys to step up. This is a Coyotes team who they're young, they're fun to watch, but they're not a team who's going to beat you. It's not kind of like with Sidney Crosby's of the world or Patrick Kane. Mm-hmm. They don't have a lot of, super – high-end skill guys. It's a total team effort that they have. They don't have one guy who's standing alone on his own on points, but they have different guys who can step up. You've seen it with Brad Richardson, Vinny Hinostroza, Alex Galchenyuk. They're guys who have been around the league for some time and kind of bounce around, and they've found a home here in Arizona, and now they're on the verge of possibly making the playoffs for the first time in quite some time. So it's going to be fun to watch. There's nothing better, in my opinion, than playoff hockey this time of year. It's so fun to watch. These guys are giving it their all. Total team effort. Some guys are playing through injuries, playing through stuff that you might not even know about, and it's just super fun to watch and high intensity at this time of year.
Now, your Sharks are in.
I wouldn't call them my Sharks. Now, I'm going to separate that, you know.
The hometown.
So my hometown Sharks when I was growing up. So I watched Sharks growing up, but now it's kind of separated from. But the Sharks are in, yes. Calgary is in as well. Mm-hmm. So is Nashville. So those are kind of the four through the Western Conference. Calgary's had a really good year. Former Coyote goaltender Mike Smith is playing with them now. And they have, you know, some talent up in Calgary. So it's going to be a fun playoff run to see where the Coyotes match up, and anything can happen. Hockey is not kind of like the NBA where, you know, maybe the Warriors are just going to – it's going to be Warriors and whoever comes out of the East. In hockey, it doesn't matter if you're a 1 or 8 seed. It really is. If you're in the dance, you're in the dance. You can recall the LA Kings just a few years ago, they're an 8 seed, end up winning, running the table, and go all the way to a Stanley Cup final and win. It's really, once you get in, whoever's playing the best hockey, it's kind of just go from there.
Now, before I let you go, I do want to talk – combine these two, the pro and the college – the biggest name associated on the ice for Arizona State is Joey Decord. This goaltender who joined this program, who was in the bottom of the world, and I believe it's Senators he's drafted by. Now, as he's nearing graduation, he is in this tournament where he has the opportunity to try to block the net against Quinnipiac, one of the best teams in the nation. For Joey Decord, what does the future look like for him?
So he has a decision to make after this season. So the way the NHL kind of works, he was drafted by the Senators. This was a few years ago. But after a few years in the NHL, you either have to sign with your team or you become an unrestricted free agent. And so he's going to have a decision to make after the season. I don't think he's necessarily worried about that right now. He's just focused. He's been so ecstatic.
He has something else to be worried about.
Actually, a good storyline going into this weekend with Quinnipiac is Andrew Shortridge, a goaltender on the other end of the ice. Him and Joey Decord actually trained together growing up. Their dad, Joey Decord's dad's a goaltending coach, Coach Corey Schneider, who's now in the NHL. They trained together growing up, and now they are two of the best goaltenders in the country. I mean, Andrew Shortridge has under two goals a game. He has, Coach Powers called it yesterday, like video game numbers. it's going to be a fun goaltending matchup. But Joey Decord, I've said it before, whether he goes out this season, I think it kind of depends on how ASU does in the tournament. But whether he goes out this season or just elects to stay for one more year, I think he's going to find his way on a professional rink somewhere, whether it's overseas first or going to the NHL. Because, I mean, he's going to be picked up. He has been such a good player for this ASU team, and I actually wrote an article earlier this year about Joey Decord actually on the Sports 360 AZ site.
Yep.
And I've said it before and I'll say it again, I truly think he will be one day the first Sun Devil in the National Hockey League. He has been that good. He's super fun to watch, just super quick going post to post, and just super fundamentally sound. And where he's really improved this year has been his mental game, you know, kind of letting a goal in, kind of just shaking it off, having that quick memory, and it's really all come full circle this season. So it's going to be fun to watch those two goaltenders duke it out this weekend, and just a great time for hockey in Arizona.
Now, I'll be honest, I'm not big into hockey unis. I don't usually like the design.
That's your first mistake, right? You called it a uni. It's a hockey sweater.
Exactly.
So, yeah, we got to get the lingo down first, Devin.
But I'm not big on what they look like, the design. Typically, the colors are a little bit weird to me. But from the first time I saw ASU, and they've even changed their sweater since, those are my favorite. Pro or college. If you haven't seen ASU hockey, check it out for the uni/sweaters. Unis, if you don't know hockey, sweaters.
Sweaters. That's the sweater. Yeah, they actually, just a quick side note on that, their equipment manager John Loftner, that's actually a part of their recruiting pitch coming to ASU. They don't have, you know, the best facilities, something like that. But John Loftner is their equipment manager and just awesome with all the jerseys and stuff that they partner with Adidas. He has actually compared ASU, kind of calling them like the Oregon, how Oregon is in college football. ASU is like the college hockey version of Oregon in football, if that makes sense.
And I don't even think like Oregon sometimes is like outlandish. These just look cool to me.
It's the uniforms, and I say uniforms, you got me saying the wrong words here, Devin, but the sweaters are they're top notch, whether it's their black sweaters or they go with a maroon look. I've really enjoyed them this year. They've looked really clean out on the ice, along with some good hockey that's being played in those sweaters. So
yeah, it's a good double up right there. Andrew Bell, our intern here at Sports 360 AZ. You're almost done, unfortunately, and then you'll graduate and you'll probably do some crazy, amazing things way before I do. But some great content on sports360az.com on Arizona State hockey. Also a little bit of Yotes, but also I really enjoyed this article right here because I didn't really notice this, and I've kind of been actually keeping up with ASU softball. But the Hamilton Huskies, they got quite a grasp on ASU softball, which is a good thing because if you don't know, Hamilton is pretty good in softball. ASU is all right in softball at the collegiate level, one of the best, kind of. But if you want to read more on that article, check it out on sports360az.com. Andrew, thanks for joining me, man. I know that it was a little bit. I want to keep it a surprise, keep everything kind of fresh, but nonetheless.
Hopefully my debut wasn't too bad. Thank you for having me.
It was fantastic. Oh, I appreciate you talking hockey because that's something that I don't know enough about that you're kind of now the expert here at Sports 360 for the semester. So thank you again. Be sure to stick around, guys. We're going to continue diving off the deep end of stuff that you probably don't know in Arizona sports. ISM Raceway in Avondale, Arizona will host the NASCAR Championship weekend in 2020. We'll talk more about that on the other side of the break on the Brad Sesmatch Show. I'm Devin Henry. Welcome back, everyone, to the Brad Sesmatch Show on this happy Wednesday for you. Devin Henry along for the ride. And yesterday, there was a huge announcement in Avondale, Arizona, referring to ISM Raceway, the NASCAR racetrack that hosts two races a year. And what NASCAR has been trying to do is shuffle around the schedule for more excitement and being able to get more people at the track. There's a couple races where at the time of the year, it was just like, going to a race at Atlanta in February just was not kind of because it was way too cold. So moving a couple of races around here and there, and part of the reason why ISM Raceway gets picked for the championship race is, if you didn't already know, ISM Raceway was the home of the semifinal race. I think we must have lost our ISM Raceway picture. That's Tulsa, Oklahoma behind me, but it's still a racetrack. Nonetheless, ISM Raceway is a pavement track, oval, 1 mile. In Avondale, Arizona. And be sure to check out sports360az.com. I posted a million things on how ISM Raceway was just flooded $178 million for a modernization project. I've sent out a few videos out there so you can actually see what the interactive Gatorade Victory Lane is like, where you are literally in mosh pit formation and getting champagne sprayed on you while the winning driver celebrates his win. Then there is the interactive garages. There's no bulletproof glass there. There's a little fence, and right there is the driver. He'll sign your stuff. You take selfies with them, and you're right there next to a car watching how a race team operates during a typical weekend. And then there's other things. They had carnival games there this last spring race for the Ticket Guardian 500. And I was talking to the vice chairman of NASCAR, Mike Helton. You might know the name if you're into NASCAR. And so I wanted to know from him, how long has this been in the works? Because moving the schedule around for NASCAR has been something that they've been trying to do for the past few years, really. And it kind of all falls down into time of year, money, stuff like that. And he actually mentioned that it's been a few years in the making. And what he means by that is ISM Raceway for a couple of years was trying to say, we want the championship race here. They've been moving other races around, such as the Brickyard 400, the Southern 500, some big-name races that they had been moving around. ISM Raceway had said, since 2002, we've been the semifinal race, and Homestead Miami Speedway has been the championship race. And everything in my head kind of came together at this moment when he mentioned that it's been a few years that they have been talking about this possible change where Avondale, Arizona becomes the championship race in NASCAR. And you look back at these past 5 months, they completed the $178 million in renovations. Julie Giese is appointed to be the new track president of ISM Raceway. They host the Can-Am 500 last fall for their first race with the fan interactive stuff. And then, of course, they also hosted a Zoomtown Lights, is what they called it, a gigantic Christmas light experience. With that being said, I figured out that the parent company for ISM Raceway, the International Speedway Corporation, they flooded all this money into ISM Raceway. And at the end of the day, this isn't, when I mentioned the $178 million of money, that's not taxpayer money. That's money. That doesn't come from, like, for the Suns Arena or for Chase Field, whatever, or it be Talking Stick Resort Hotel Casino Arena. I know what it's called, guys. It was a joke. But that's all coming from taxpayer money, or at least the 158 that's coming from taxpayer money. The $178 million that went into the Avondale track was ISC and track money. That didn't come from the citizens of Avondale or Phoenix or the state of Arizona. That came from themselves. That came from the ISC. And I always wonder, because the International Speedway Corporation oversees a large amount of tracks. Other tracks that got changes included Richmond Raceway in Virginia and Talladega in Alabama. You may have known Talladega from its mass amount of pop culture references. So why ISM Raceway? In my mind, this is the end game that ISM Raceway and the ISC has had all along. If Jordan Hamm listens to this, he will appreciate my Avengers reference. But the end game was, if we dump all this money into what is a semifinal race, we can actually have the championship race, all of that revenue and all that attention come to what we have created, what we have reimagined in Avondale, Arizona, to create a fan experience. And something that Mike Helton told me was the future of racing, the future of sports, is more so an entertainment venture than it even is a sports venture. It's about entertaining and letting these athletes interact with the fans. I know this is a completely different example, but when a fan touched Russell Westbrook at a Thunder game, he freaked out. Well, yeah, in the first place, you shouldn't be doing that. But then, on the grid, before a race, there are regular average fans bothering the drivers before they get into a car for a selfie, and they love it. That's the difference between NASCAR and other sports, and it's becoming this entertainment juggernaut where other events can be held at these racetracks. Bristol Speedway in Tennessee held a college football game in its pits. NASCAR is becoming something else, and ISM Raceway and the ISC are on top of this, where now ISM Raceway in 2020 will host the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series Championship Race. And that is something where, even if you're not a fan of NASCAR, Friday or Saturday, you might just want to go to that because it's a championship event. It's like going to, in 2019, the college football playoff semifinal, or in 2023, Super Bowl LVII, whatever the heck you want to call it. Or in 2024, the Final Four in the championship game for college basketball. That's all being held, not just in Arizona, not just the Valley, but the West Valley, now along with ISM Raceway hosting the championship race in 2020. Now, from what I have been told from a number of different sources, Mike Helton, the vice chairman of NASCAR, has said it's a one-year deal. Meanwhile, other people at NASCAR and the sanctioning body have said, we want this to last longer than just 1 year. But for now, it's just a one-year deal at ISM Raceway to hold the championship race. When you look towards the future, there is slight concern. How NASCAR operates with their racetracks. NASCAR does not actually own the racetracks, as by other entities now kind of more conglomerates than anything else nowadays. But nonetheless, NASCAR signs a five-year deal with all the tracks, essentially guaranteeing that these tracks get X amount of races every year over the next 5 years. Those contracts expire at the end of 2020. And there has been a massive amount of talk about adding a dirt track, adding a road course, and adding another short track. If they do just those three things, NASCAR wants to make the season shorter more than anything else. So they're not going to have more than 36 races. So if you add those three racetracks, that means that three tracks have to get removed from the schedule. That means that in 2020, there's going to be a mass schedule change announcement at about the same time of year. So, does ISM Raceway continue hosting the championship race? We don't know. But all I know is that in 2020, the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series will host another championship event, the fourth championship event in the next 5 years here in Phoenix, at their track. And more than likely, that will also include the NASCAR Xfinity Series and the Gander Outdoor Truck Series as well. So three championships in 3 days. And the regional K&N Pro Series West may also host a championship race as well. We don't know that yet. But there is a possibility where there are four championship races in the span of 3 days here in Avondale, Arizona. Arizona is becoming a juggernaut for big sporting events. We are going to jump off the deep end even more here coming up. We are going to talk with Jeff Rutter, not about Arizona State. No, not ASU. It's ACU, Arizona Christian University, and their huge March Madness this year. This is the Brad Sesmat Show on Sports 360 AZ. I'm Devin Henry. Welcome back, everyone, to the Brad Sesmatch Show here on Sports 360 AZ. Devin Henry here, and we are going to talk a little bit of March Madness, but it's probably not the madness that you're thinking of. It is the team who went the farthest in men's basketball in March Madness. If you were guessing ASU, you're wrong. If you're guessing U of A, you're wrong. If you're guessing NAU or GCU, you're still wrong. It's actually ACU. Arizona Christian University men's basketball made it to the Elite Eight after missing the tournament for 2 years. They were the 7th seed out of 8 seeds in their bracket, and boy, were they oh so close to that Final Four appearance. And on the phone with us here on the Brad Sesmatch Show, the athletic director and the men's basketball coach of Arizona Christian University, Jeff Rutter. Coach, thank you so much for joining me after I would assume is a pretty exciting weekend for you guys out there in Phoenix.
Yeah, thanks, Devin, for having us. Yeah, it was that tournament happens pretty quick. Games are coming right after the other, and I feel like you're always preparing for the next opponent. And so it was a whirlwind, but we're happy to be back.
Now, you guys had a number of contributors coming off and on, whether it be Terrence Shelby, I mixed up my letters right there, Callum Lawson, the senior out of England. But nonetheless, you guys made it to the Elite Eight after missing the tournament for 2 years. And you mentioned how quick those games go. It's Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, and then you would have played on Monday. It's so quick. How stressful is a tournament like that, especially when you're the 7th seed? You're supposed to be the underdog to all these other guys out there.
Yeah, you know, with that tournament, you can kind of throw the seedings out the window. It's different than Division I tournament where, you know, people are flying around playing everybody in a lot of cross-conference games where you get maybe a better feel. So by ratings, we were the big underdog. I don't think we felt like we were. I think, you know, we have virtually the same record as Wayland Baptist, who we played in the first round, and both come from great conferences. So we went in there fairly confident that we were, you know, able to compete and do well against a team as good as them. So, but yeah, you get on the adrenaline rush. You're pretty fired up to get after that first game on Wednesday, and got 24 hours, maybe less than that, to, you know, get prepared and figure out the next opponent and, you know, have something for practice for the guys and video and all that. So that tournament is a blast. I got a lot of friends that have, you know, been in the NAI, coached or played and gone to Division I's or Division II's, and they all, you know, would say the NAI tournament's the best one, the most fun, and just kind of a unique setup. So, yeah, we had a blast.
And only 32 teams make that tournament. What's the family atmosphere like for, you know, you didn't have a ton of seniors on the team this year, but nonetheless, what is that kind of family interaction like? Because I've been covering the women's team for quite a few years, and they'll tell you every single time, my favorite trip was going to Nationals with everyone.
Yeah, it's the highlight. You know, we got to play Arizona State this year, and we've had some, you know, some good Division I games over the years, but this is always the highlight. So, you know, lots of family, my whole family and the four kids came out, and you know, lots of other coaches' wives and family and folks came out there. And having it back in Kansas City every year, you know, I this is my 15th trip to the national tournament. I've still got, you know, some people that are not affiliated with any team we coach, but that just became fans and still come and say hi, or, you know, shoot you a note from 10, 15 years ago when I was there. So it's because of the consistency of it being there, you get a, you know, good fan support, good local support, some business leaders. They've got an honorary coach program that's fantastic. And, you know, some of those people I've become friends with and stayed in contact over the years. So it does have that, you know, we've got tremendous history there, but it's got that family vibe, for sure. And, yeah, you know, and I think just the way our guys played and competed, I had several people that were unaffiliated with ACU come up, and they just became fans of ours, and, you know, asking about the guys, and we're just, you know, so we won over a lot of people over there as well.
That's phenomenal. And you guys put on quite the show. You played the number one ranked team in the nation, Georgetown, in that Elite Eight game, and when all hope looked like it was lost, it's 26 seconds to go. You're down by 10. I'm like, unless Reggie Miller shows up here, the game looks like it's over. And Reggie Miller about showed up. It's an 8-0 run in a span of 24 seconds, and you called a boatload of timeouts. How much is going through your head there as Terrence Shelby and Callum Lawson combined for 50 combined points, and you guys steal the inbound pass with 2 seconds to go? I mean, as a coach, and you're going through so many plays, what was that 26 seconds like for you on the bench?
Well, you know, you're just looking for ways to extend the game. And, you know, we don't have Reggie Miller, but we got a lot of guys that are in that mold that can really score quickly. And so, you know, as a coach with our guys, I'm just, you know, give them a little more time. Good things can happen. So, you know, we typically don't call a lot of timeouts early on so that we have them late. Hopefully, you know, we're leading the game and have them just for security. But in this case, it worked out as well, too. So guys made plays and guys, you know, we got guys that are playmakers that have practiced this situation. And you know, you just, as a coach, just hope to give them a little bit more time, a little more opportunity. And we nearly got one. There's a call or two that maybe would have saved a few more seconds on the clock. That didn't go our way, but we still able to come up with a steal and at least get a shot at it. That's kind of all you want.
And now you're not just the men's basketball coach. You are also the athletic director at Arizona Christian. This was the first year where both the men's and women's basketball programs went to the national tournaments. And now Coach Odell Berry, after 6 years retiring, what has he meant to building up a team that won two games about 6-7 years ago to a back-to-back 20-win team and a back-to-back national tournament appearance team?
Yeah, Coach Berry's done a great job, and the program wasn't very successful when he took over, and he's done a fantastic job rebuilding it to where it's in, you know, competing for a league title and competing for a national title. Had a real good group of core seniors that are graduating as well that you know, he brought on, and they helped grow the program. So we're certainly, you know, just thankful that and appreciative of the job that Coach Berry did. You know, he's got some other interests in focus now, and so he's kind of retiring from coaching, but he'll still be around in front of the program. So he leaves it in great footing, and you know, we've kind of seen, that's been the fun part of being the athletic director. You know, we're the school's been around for a while, but it's really only been 7-8 years as Arizona Christian. And each year, we've kind of, one of our programs has kind of jumped into that national, you know, level where they're competing for some of those things I mentioned earlier. So, and women's basketball is certainly one that did that. So it's been fun to see just the growth of programs and you know, putting them on the map in the basketball world. And so we're certainly thankful for Coach Berry and the job that he did.
And it's fun looking at some of the new programs that you guys are building up. And I went onto your website earlier this week, and I want to check out acrobatics and tumbling to see how they were doing. And I noticed all of a sudden there's a tab for esports, and now there's also a tab for bowling. And then with all of that going on, you guys will also be moving to what is now known as the ASU Thunderbird School of Global Management. You guys are going to be moving to that facility. And, you know, when you guys first purchased it, the football field and basketball court wasn't necessarily up in the topest, tippest shape in the world. But what is going on right now at Arizona Christian University with everything so new happening?
Yeah, it's a pretty exciting time. We've kind of been busting up the seams in our current campus for a few years, and capacity in the dorms and the residence hall and in the cafeteria, classrooms, parking lot, you name it. We've kind of been full here and limiting our growth. So we've got, you know, can spread our wings a little bit at that new campus and quite a bit more space. And it's already a beautiful campus, beautiful buildings, beautiful classrooms, more than almost triples our occupancy for residence hall space. And really the only thing they don't have is athletic facilities. So we're going to be adding things very, very quickly and really with the goal to get everybody on campus. So it's a pretty good time to be a Firestorm and pretty exciting time right now.
And do you know right now if the goal is to be playing football and basketball among some of your other sports at that new campus once those seasons roll around in 2019 of fall?
Yeah, that is the goal. You know, with plans and architects and, you know, approvals and things, that stuff can take time. But I'm pretty confident, at least on the, you know, some of the outdoor sports with some of the field space, that's going to happen, you know, by fall. So it's, you know, we're moving at a, yeah, the basketball season's over, but now more of my work has begun, and we're moving at a pretty quick pace to get those things going.
Oh yeah, play new going on at Arizona Christian. Coach Rutter, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it, and also huge congrats on the Elite Eight appearance. Thanks again, Coach.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Devin.
That's Coach Rutter, the men's basketball coach and the athletic director at Arizona Christian University. Man, oh man, a lot of new things going on there. And I mean, we'll save it for another time, but I didn't even get to ask him yet about how Ottawa University is now in surprise, and now they have a rival, and now that they're moving out west, I mean, there's so many new things going on in NAIA sports. I mean, even with all the hoopla and all the noise happening with all the junior college stuff, and now you have groups like Arizona State basketball doing well and the football programs at the D1 NCAA schools, but there's some big stories right here in our own backyard. Now both teams will be in the West Valley, although I think officially the campus is still Phoenix. It's like right on that Phoenix-Glendale border right there where the Arizona School of Thunderbird Global Management, that big word, whatever. No, wherever that's going to be at, no. But a lot of new things going on with the NAIA groups here at Arizona Christian University and Ottawa University, and you can kind of keep up. We're going to be putting out more and more content. I actually had a piece out earlier today on, we talked about Coach Barry and the women's basketball team and their rise to power in the NAIA. So lots of fun today. Big thank you to Coach Rutter for joining me, as well as Andrew Bell, our intern here at Sports 360 AZ. As always, Kendi Wilkerson, our chairwoman of the board, back behind the glass. And for this Wednesday as well, I am not Brad Sesmat. I'm Devin Henry, hosting here on Sports360AZ.com. Be sure to go check out the website. Check out all the great content we got. Jordan Hamm is at ASU Pro Day today, so plenty coming out on that front as well. Thanks again, guys. Have a phenomenal rest of your Wednesday. And since I won't see you before, then have a great weekend as well.